Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This is Gilles Grapinet speaking. Thank you for attending the Worldline conference call today on our 2014 results. I'm going to share this presentation with Marc-Henri Desportes, General Manager, and Bruno Bassier, our Group CFO. I will start with the key figures of 2014 with a focus on the key achievements of Worldline last year. Then Bruno will develop more in detail the financial performance of 2014. After Bruno, Marc-Henri will present the commercial and operational performance, as well as an update on our team and YP program, and on some recent but important regulatory changes in the payment landscape and their potential consequences on this matter. Finally, I will come back to conclude before starting the Q&A session. Moving to the next slide, I am pleased to share with you the key figures for 2014. First, revenue was 1,149,000,000 euros, representing an organic evolution of plus 2.8% compared to 2013, with an acceleration to 4% in Q4, in line with our plan for the year. Our OMDA reached 215.1 million euros, or 18.7% of revenue, which represents, as planned, an increase by 50 basis points compared to 18.2% in 2013. Free cash flow reached 114.4 million euros, exceeding the circa 110 million objective for 2014. This led to a group net cash position of 203.1 million euros end of December. Net income was 104 million euros. Regarding dividend, the board has decided, taken into consideration the priorities and the strategic agenda of the company for 2015, to propose to the AGM not to distribute a dividend on the 2014 results. I will now comment some significant achievements the company has made in 2014. As you know, 2014 has been in many ways a milestone in Worldline's history. There was indeed our successful IPO end of June. We have also launched many new products and offers, notably in the field of mobile payments and digital connectivity. We accelerated the development of our technology platform YP, and the major transformation program team continued very strongly its ramp-up. And last but certainly not least, the management team of the company has been significantly reinforced by new talents in the company. The company has also significantly enhanced its visibility and brand recognition in 2014. First, our stock is now covered by a significant number of brokerage firms, and I would like here to particularly thank the sell-side analyst community here tonight for the time they've been spending understanding the business and for their initiation. I am also pleased to report that we made in parallel significant efforts toward the industry analyst community, and we are now also covered by all the major names like Ovum, Forrester, IDC, and the likes, allowing to enhance our references with major customers. Third, we have received significant awards in 2014 as a recognition of the innovation and quality of product and services delivered by Worldline. I would like to name a few here, like the best standalone banking mobile app in the world, awarded by My Private Banking Research to Société Générale, which is actually the customer of Worldline for L'Appli, which we have developed with the bank. We won also the Security Award for the Worldline hosted card emulation solution received at Payforum in France in March 2014. And the third one, for example, our Connected Home solution, which has won the Global Connected Object Award in 2014. Fourth, the enhancement of our profile as a listed company has also allowed, through the IPO, to put in place new levers to associate employees and management to our strategic plan. Of course, for the managers, I am referring here to the implementation of our stock option plan, which did happen in H2 for the first tranche. But I am also happy to report the very high subscription rate of above 22% for the employee share purchase program that we launched in H2, which demonstrate the confidence of our wider staff to the ambition of the company on the medium term. Last, we started to implement a comprehensive corporate and social responsibility policy with the ambition to be highly ranked by the major certification institutions in the coming months. I would like now to give the floor to Bruno to comment more in detail the financial performance of Fortum.
Thank you, Gilles, and good evening to all of you. Before I start commenting on the 2014 results, let me here make a short introduction just to clarify the figures that will be used in my presentation. So the 2013 statutory figures that are shown on the first column of the bridge that you have on the slide here correspond to the audited financial statements called the combined accounts in the prospectus of the IPO. To provide a relevant basis of comparison for operational comments, these statutory accounts have been adjusted for, one, changes of scope, two, to incorporate the cost structure of Worldline operating as a standalone company, and three, for exchange rate fluctuations. And so these adjustments on the 2013 accounts lead us to the figures that you see on the right part of the bridge, which are pro forma at constant scope and exchange rate. And these are the 2013 figures that I will use in my presentation. So on this basis, the revenues reached in 2013 1,118.2 million, and in 2014 we are reaching 1,149.3 million, with a growth of 2.8%. Just a note here on the figures that were presented by Atos earlier today. Worldline's revenues appear there for an amount of 1,098.9 million. The difference of 50.4 million is linked to consolidation eliminations, as we have, as you know, a part of our revenues that are invoiced to our end clients through Atos. Let's now move to the review of the operational performance. So as I mentioned, the group achieved a growth of revenue of 2.8% in 2014. As we announced at the IPO, the growth accelerated in the second half of the year and reached 4% in the fourth quarter. And I will detail the drivers of this acceleration when I comment EGBL in just a minute. The mix of revenue between the three GBL remained balanced, with each GBL representing about a third of the group revenues. And in terms of profitability, the OMDA margin reached 18.7%, which is half a point above 2013, just as we had in the plan. Actually counting in basis points, if we want to be precise, the precise calculation shows the progression in reality closer to 60 basis points than the 50 basis points, which was our communicated target. Let me now walk you through the performance GBL by GBL. So first, the merchant services and terminals. In 2014, revenues for merchant services and terminals increased by 2%, reaching 373.8 million euros. The growth was supported all along the year by the progression of the volume in transactional activities like commercial acquiring, private label cards, and online services. Commercial acquiring in particular progressed well, and thanks to the very good performance in particular of the Netherlands, where revenues grew over 30%. The growth in H2 for the GBL was 3% after 1% in H1, and the growth accelerated during the year, of course, thanks to the improvement of the payment terminal activity, confirming in Q4 the satisfactory trend that we had observed and commented on our Q3 results. The margin for the global business line progressed by 50 basis points. That was in line with the plan for the year and driven both by the progression of volumes and by efficiency measures. Moving to FPL. In 2014, financial processing and software licensing revenue was 396.1 million, up 1.4% compared to 2013. The main growth driver was online banking, thanks to the success of the iDEAL e-payment platform in the Netherlands, as well as very strong SEPA volumes. The number of our e-SEPA transactions actually more than doubled during the year. The payment software licensing division was also well-oriented thanks to the development of the software activities in Asia. And issuing processing was stable for the full year with a good first semester and continued growth in volumes, with volumes growing 11% in number of transactions. Finally, remember that in our acquiring processing division, we had this year the impact of the insourcing of a large contract in France. This insourcing took place in March, and for the full year, it weighs close to 2 points of growth on the GBL. So without this one-off, the run rate growth would have been above 3%. OMDA, on the profitability front, the financial processing and software licensing business line reached an OMDA of 99.6 million, or 25.2% of sales. That was an increase of 190 basis points compared to 2013. Several factors contributed to this increase. We had, as I mentioned, a good dynamic on volumes. We had also, of course, the impact of the efficiency initiatives from the team program. And finally, we also had a favorable revenue mix effect linked to the progression of the volumes versus the project activity. In MTS, the revenue reached 379.4 million, up 5.1%. We continued here to see good growth in e-ticketing. The activity in e-government grew thanks to a good activity in LATAM, while Europe was nearly stable. And overall, in e-government, we have been able to absorb the significant price decrease that was committed on the public sector in contract in the UK, on which we have we had commented the planned effect for the year. In our activity, e-mobility and consumer cloud, this one was also positively oriented for the full year, with a good commercial activity at the end of the year, and despite some volatility in revenue growth linked to the nature of this business. Overall, for the global business line, the growth accelerated during the year thanks to volumes ramp-up, internationalization of our offerings, and also to the commercial synergy program reinforced with Atos since the end of 2013. The margin year-on-year was impacted by the drop in price in the public sector contract in the UK that I mentioned just before. This impacted the margin actually from H2 2013 onwards. And so if we compare the second semester of 2014 with the second semester of 2013, we then see an improvement of margin of 180 basis points. Moving to the rest of the income statement, the rest of the P&L items. So here, the lines below operating margin relate to non-recurring and non-operational items, and altogether they represent an expense of 19.7 million in 2014. So let me here give you the full clarity on these amounts. We had 3.4 million related to staff reorganization, which reflects the restructuring linked to the implementation of the new organization. We had 8.7 million in rationalization, which primarily relates to the setup and design of the team program and other transformation initiatives. We had 3.5 million on the amortization of customer relationship, in other words, amortization of a part of the goodwill linked to past acquisition, like Banksys. And this item is obviously non-operational and non-cash. And finally, we had 3.6 million in other items, mainly external and internal costs incurred in the frame of the preparation of the IPO and the carve-out. The net financial expenses amounted to 7.4 million for the period. It's composed of the net cost of financial debt for 2.2 million, obviously recorded in H1, and non-operational financial costs, such as the foreign exchange cost or the financial part of the pension expenses. The tax charge was, at the end of December 2014, 41 million, with a profit before tax of 143.2 million. So this corresponds to an effective tax rate of 28.6%. Finally, the net income group share stands at 100.4 million euro for 2014. And for this KPI here, it's important to consider also the adjusted net income group share, which is the net income adjusted for the non-recurring and non-operational items, net of tax, of course. On this basis, the net income reached 113.8 million euros. And for illustration purposes, if we calculate an EPS based on the current number of shares and based on this adjusted net income, we get to an EPS of 86 cents per share. Moving to the cash flow statement, The free cash flow for 2014, as Gilles mentioned, reached 114.4 million, exceeding our target for the year. Just a few comments here on specific items within this cash flow. The capital expenditure amounted to 68.9 million for the year, so that was 6% of revenue. This is slightly below our target for the year, mainly due to phasing of some hardware investments. We benefited from a positive change in working capital for 22.8 million. This was achieved primarily through the improvement of payment terms with suppliers as a consequence of the program launched by the Atos Group at the end of 2013. And in the second semester, that was mainly in H1, because in the second semester, the contribution of working capital change to the cash flow has been negligible. Comparing to 2013 on the free cash flow, just a comment there, you have to take into account the 20.7 million one-off proceeds from the sale of the building in Brussels. So excluding this effect, the cash flow 2013 was 100.3 million. And so on this basis, the free cash flow for 2014 increased by around 14%. Last comment to clarify the figures on the bottom part of the cash flow. You have the net material acquisition that mainly relate to the execution of the carve-out and the creation of Worldline, because technically this was done through the acquisition of entities by Worldline from Atos in 2013 in particular. You have the dividend of 45 million that corresponds to an exceptional dividend paid to Atos before the IPO. On the following slide, we show a bridge just to allow you to reconcile the cash positions at the end of 2013 and 14. We started the year with a net debt position of 100 million euro. We had then, in the course of H1, a 12 million euro cash out linked to the execution of the carve-out. We had a 45 million exceptional dividend payment, as I just mentioned. We then have the net IPO proceeds that amounted to 248 million. It also includes the proceeds from the Boost subscription plan. And finally, we have the free cash flow of the year, as I said, for 114 million. So that leads us to a net cash position at the end of 14 of 203 million euros. Just a few words finally on the balance sheet. As you see on the chart, the goodwill was stable. Just as a reminder, this goodwill is mainly inherited from the acquisition of Banksys in 2006. Intangible assets increased by 28.4 million, reflecting the investments in our proprietary software platforms and especially the YP platform. A word on pensions. We have updated the pension calculation to take into account the drop in interest rate in the Eurozone and in the UK. And despite the cut was quite significant, approximately 100 basis points, and the provision in our balance sheet only increased by 22.2 million here to reach 83.6 million. As we explained at the time of the IPO, pensions are not a major issue for Worldline, and the P&L impact is actually extremely stable in 2013 and 14, around 8.5 million euros in total. Let me now give the floor to Marc-Henri Desportes for the presentation of the business highlights.
Thank you, Bruno, and good evening to all of you. I would like to start this section dedicated to commercial and operational performance to the growth in the field of new payment means. In 2014, we experienced on one end a steady rise in historical card payment volumes with circa 6% growth in commercial acquiring transactions and circa 11% growth in issuing transactions. On the other end, we had a strong growth in new payment methods with plus 135% in eSEPA transaction H2 2014 compared to H2 2013. And 90% growth in active wallets if you compare Q4 2014 to Q2 2014. So this momentum is confirming the relevance of our commercial and technical efforts in the last years and months to catch this emerging trend in payment. I will now present for each business line our key achievements and main wins for the last quarter. For merchant services and terminal, a range of new offers were delivered and pushed to our clients that we consider particularly relevant to deliver our future growth. we have launched a new bundle online gateway and commercial acquiring for mass market, thus bringing to the merchants a one-stop shop solution to their payment needs, both for their online and physical commerce. We also launched an integrated point of sale, including a cloud-based tablet cash register application, particularly relevant to the needs of small to medium merchants looking for an even more comprehensive and integrated solution to start their business. We started as well a new mobile in-store payment with Delhaize, a leading Belgium retailer group. We consider it as a very illustrative example of how merchants can use our innovations to keep control of client mobile relationship inside the store. Finally, we made available a new integrated electronic and mobile payment suite for our merchant partners to help them in their digital transformation. Regarding the main wins of the fourth quarter of 2014, beyond the solid growth in international commercial acquiring that Bruno mentioned, we renewed major acquiring contract with Delhaize and Total. We developed a pilot with Darty for mobile seller solution combined with central acceptance of card payments. We also developed successfully our terminal business with our partner in Australia for the local market, more than doubling our volume of sales in this geography. We also concluded an agreement with Oxygen for their activities both in the UK and in the US. We intend in 2015 to develop further the acceptance of new payment methods online and in-store to continue to grow our commercial acquiring internationally, leveraging our strong online capabilities and to reinforce our position in digital retail solutions, leveraging our end-to-end capabilities in this domain. In the area of financial processing, I want to highlight some achievements supporting our development once again in the field of new payments that we can sell on top of our big processing contracts, but also as door openers to new relationships. We already mentioned the success of our central platform for e-wallet services, which we now organize as a centralized service center. We were also glad to progress around pilots for NFC mobile payments, both in France and in Germany. Last but not least, our trusted authentication solution has been adopted by several large banks around Europe. These banks anticipate the new regulatory requirement for two-factor authentication, as well as the rising threats in fraud in online payments. Our wins for Q4 include significant processing deals renewals in Europe, the extension of our agreement with ING regarding iDeal. We also won a significant credit card processing deal in India and won a micro loans management solution with the Tencent Group in China, which is seen by many as the fifth biggest internet company in the world. In 2015, while continuing to work on big opportunity to develop our position internationally, we will push our innovation and value-added services to help banks and financial institutions to adopt the new payment technologies, not only in Europe. We also intend to leverage regulatory changes to sell to our clients the corresponding solutions and adaptations. For mobility and e-transactional services, we were glad to go beyond the number of 1 million connected devices on our platform and to engage the first implementation on a worldwide basis of our connected devices platform for a home appliance company. In Q4, we won an important multi-channel solution deal for EDF to manage their client relationship, and we also won a payment-related Belgium tolling project for trucks. We won as well an e-ticketing deal for the first group in the UK. In 2015 will mean for us a strong focus on connected living, which is a massive source of new transaction opportunities, as well of course as e-ticketing beyond our historical geographies in this domain, and we will target as well security solutions in the field of e-government, which are proving very attractive in this to these clients. Coming now to our major transformation programs, TEAM and YP, in this field we deliver in line with our expectation in 2014. I remind you that TIM is about transforming the way we organize our delivery as well as our sales towards a more globally integrated and optimized model, leveraging standard efficiency measures as well, like purchasing efforts or contract profitability reviews. This semester, as demonstrated by the successful contribution to our margin improvements, we progressed in delivering our model with, for example, the reorganization of the sales force, the review of our top 90 contracts, and the extension of our lean action coverage by 9%, and the further virtualization of our installed servers. In 2015, we will continue and accelerate our journey to globalization and industrialization. We have set up cross-border share centers aiming at unifying and leveraging current capabilities and assets, for example, in payment acceptance, wallet solution, SIPA and OBEP online banking, and the Worldline Mobile Solution Center. In parallel, we are finalizing the centralization of all our infrastructure activity and the setup of a production centers for a unified end-to-end platform management. This globalization of our operating model is supported by a reinforced workforce management relying on resources mutualization and smart sourcing. YP, the Worldline Integrated Payment Engine, as you remember, is our next generation payment platform program. It successfully delivered in 2014 the new trusted authentication solution, as well as a new bundled gateway, online payments and commercial acquiring. Over major components, including our new issuing platform, we will go live for new clients in 2015. I'm now coming to the regulatory changes, and we already presented to you the importance for industry of the current wave of regulatory changes in Europe. Particularly relevant to us, these changes are also playing an important role for the development of mobile payments. The cap of interchange is getting closer now, and the cap is being confirmed for the end of H2 in Europe, both for domestic and international transactions. This pushes banks towards the search of new revenue streams while forcing them to adapt to new and demanding business rules. PSD2 will allow new models to develop while being more demanding for authentication, as I already mentioned before, with the request of two-factor authentication and clearly driving the use of mobile devices as a security-generating solution, and the solution we are already providing and on which we see more and more traction on our market. The SEPA regulation did already allow the rise of SEPA credit transfer and SEPA direct debit and has created a ground for non-card settled wallets and a natural convergence between mobile payments and online banking, on which, as you have seen, we are already perfectly positioned. Finally, tokenization framework is a compelling security element, typically for contactless payments and more must have in all recent initiatives, as our HCE pilot with Visa Europe France, we mentioned in the last quarter results. All these regulatory evolutions, combined with the massive adoption of smartphones by consumers as well as the extension of contactless terminals, create the condition of the mobile payment development. This is a great potential lying ahead of us, for all our businesses, for merchants, for financial institutions, and also for governments or transportation companies. I will now give the floor back to Gilles for the conclusion.
Thank you, Marc-Henri. I think it was particularly important to present an update on these changes in the European regulatory framework. This is clearly having an impact on the whole electronic payment ecosystem, both issuing banks, suppliers, merchants, but also customers. It is now time to conclude, and I would like here to sum up the key takeaways of this presentation. First and foremost, our 2014 results are fully in line to achieve our ambition for 2017. We saw also in 2014 the first tangible impacts of our TIM program and its strong benefit on the company's organization and profitability. We will keep investing on our platform and in innovation in 2015 to further develop YP, but also to propose to our clients the next generation of payment means. And last, as already mentioned, I can confirm that we are extremely focused to take full advantage of the payment industry, regulatory, and consolidation trends. I'd like to conclude with our guidance for 2015, fully in line with the 2017 ambition. For 2015, we target 4% to 5% organic revenue growth, with H2 accelerating versus H1. An increase of circa 50 basis points in OMDA margin versus 2014, and a free cash flow between 120 million and 125 million euros. Thanks for your attention. I know it's late, but with the team, we are now ready to take your questions.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Gerardus Vos from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening. A couple of questions. Just first on the organic growth, the 4%-5%. I was wondering if you could help me a bit on how much that would be if we exclude the kind of sales channel via Atos, as more investors are looking at that. Secondly, you indicated already a little bit on the linearity of a second half weighted year. What I wanted to know, is there anything in the 4%-5% included on the large deal which was negotiated in continental Europe, and also what the status is on that deal? Then finally, just on the M&A pipeline, I think last year, you guys changed the M&A focus on kind of more smaller deals to cover a broader area. Where are we with that, and should we expect one or multiple deals in 2015? Thank you.
Hello, good evening, Gerardus. Thank you for your three questions. Actually, I think I will take them, the three of them. To start, regarding the guidance for 2015, let's be very clear. As a standalone company for us, as I already explained, the 4%-5% is our standalone revenues, including everything we can sell to any customers, whether they are already existing Atos customers through which the Atos sales are actually supporting us in our sales effort, and it is an important growth channel for us. As you know, we've been investing to improve that, and we will pursue doing so. For me, it is as good as any money we receive from the direct customers of Worldline. Actually, we are also trying to help Atos once in a while with our existing customers in which Atos is no longer also present. It works in both directions, actually. 4%-5% include everything, all the business we can sell, and this is covering all our activities. Regarding the second question, the large deal we mentioned last year, let's be honest, in 2014, the timing of this deal has been clearly a disappointment for us. I can confirm tonight that we pursue working on it and that discussions are ongoing with the customer. Nonetheless, given its potential magnitude and timing uncertainty, we decided not to factor it in our 2015 guidance with a material impact. Last, indeed, M&A is a major focus of the company since we closed the IPO. I can just tell you we are extremely busy. Indeed, we have diversified the way we look at targets. There are targets of various magnitude in our, I would say, pipeline, even if it is not that relevant to talk about pipeline, but in the existing prospects. There are small companies that represent some good add-ons in geographies, and there may be some more medium-sized, even large potential prospects. You can definitely expect us, at least it is really the priority given to the company by myself, but also to myself by the board, to actually work actively to maximize the chance to execute on this part of the strategy, the non-organic part in 2015.
Okay. Very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We will now take our next question from Mohammed Moawalla from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. I wonder if you can comment on some of the macro assumptions that are built into that revenue acceleration that you're guiding for in 2015, and to what extent is an improving consumer spending environment an upside or risk to your, particularly your volume linked businesses? Thank you.
Well, I can, Mohamed, thank you for your question. I can take this one. We have not factored in our assumption any major changes in the macroeconomic environment. So we are more relying on a steady level or, I mean, normal growth and no significant change to the past trend in consumer spending. What we factor on the other end is the evolution towards a change in mix, towards more online payments or more mobile payments, as we have experienced already this year as a not a new trend, but more a confirmed trend and overall shift of the market.
Great. And just a follow-up, I think you had alluded to the relative growth rates of the different GBUs. Is that expected to be any different to what you stated before, whereby I think, you know, the mobility was going to outgrow the group, FPL a little below, and merchant services in line?
Will you want to take this one?
Yeah, for 2015, what we see is pretty much in line with what we had in the plan for at the time of the IPO. So FPL indeed, one, because it's obviously the most mature activity, but also because we still have for part of the year the effect of this insourcing of the contract in France. We see FPL, if I position the three GBL versus the average, you know, of the 4 to 5% guidance that Gilles explained, FPL would be say below the average. Merchant services and terminals rather above the average because of the trends that Marc-Henri described and the recovery of the terminals, and MTS probably in line with the average.
Okay, great. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Johannes Schaller from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. Could you maybe just on the terminals, maybe give us a bit more color how that grew in Q4, and then also put that into the context of the acceleration in the second half that you're seeing in 2015, because the terminals growth should actually be better in the first half because of easier comps. So just that we can understand that a little bit better, how that fits together. And then also, could you give us a bit of an update just in terms of any big contract renewals that are to come for 2015, if there is anything that could pose a potential risk that we should be aware of, or if you think 2015 from that perspective is a pretty normal year, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so Johannes, I will take the first one and let Gilles answer your second question. On the terminals, what we, you remember at the end of our Q3, we had said that we ended the Q3 very, very well with a double digit growth. We had also a good Q4. You know, if I look at the historical trend on this activity, before the temporary slowdown, it has been an activity growing, say, a high single digit. Okay, so you know, if we had to position it going forward, that would probably be say in line with the past trends.
Regarding your good evening, Johannes. I think regarding your second question, you know, just renewals are in general part of the business model of the company, and as you saw, we've been very successful in renewing very large processing deals in 14 actually. Regarding 15, actually there is no significant renewal that may have an impact on the revenues for what I see in terms of order of magnitude. We will have, as you know, the French government, which is going to launch the retender process of the very large radar contract that we are having. But this process will take the whole year actually to be closed. So should it have any impact, it will be in 16, not in 15.
Got it. And just a quick follow-up, sorry, just coming back to the point of sales through the Atos channel. You've quantified that, I think, in Q3 at roughly 13 million, and then it was about 5 million in Q3 13. Could you just maybe quantify that for Q4 as well? That would be helpful.
Do we know any clue on that?
For the quarter, just give me 1 minute, Johannes, huh? If you allow me.
No problem.
Okay. Shall we move to the next question? I'll come back to you in just a minute, Johannes.
Thanks, Bruno.
As a final reminder to ask a question, please press...
At least it is just telling you that we are not following that. Because for us, sorry for that. Bruno is actually looking in his big...
We are at 16 million in Q4, Johannes.
1-6. Perfect. That's helpful. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Gianmarco Bonaccino from Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good evening. Two small questions. The first one is about FX. If you can tell us at the current exchange rate, what will be the impact on your top line and the EBITDA for 2015, assuming all the currency remain at the current level. The second one is on your guidance for organic revenue growth. I think that you mentioned in the past that achieving the 4-5% in 2015 was based on signing the new outsourcing deal at some point during either 14 or 15. Now I understand that you said the guidance is excluding this big outsourcing deal. So what has changed to basically keep the guidance but without this deal? So what is the segment that is perform? You are expecting to perform, let's say, better than initially. Thank you.
So I'll say, on your question on Forex, so the way we express the guidance is at constant scope and exchange rate, of course, because you know we have say roughly 25% of our revenues that are not in euros, pounds, and Asian and Latin American currencies. So we neutralize the impact of, and that was the pro forma that I explained, we neutralize the impact of the currencies going up or down to extract a growth that is at constant exchange rate. And so the guidance is given on this basis.
And regarding your second question, I just come back on that. I don't want to do any sci-fi, you know. I mean, obviously, if we had actually signed this deal in 14, as it was initially planned both by the customer and ourselves, of course, the guidance for 15 would have been certainly much higher than the 4-5% that we are today actually sharing with you guys. And so, of course, this upside for the timing is not there. So we come back to the usual historical trend of the ambition that we have for the company. We also have many actions which are developing very well on the commercial front. The internationalization of our offerings is actually demonstrating it works. We begin to score. We have also a pipeline of activity which is strong, particularly for H2 in FPL, financial processing and software licensing. Marc-Henri mentioned a couple of very hot trends that are actually currently pursued in various discussions from Europe with banks or FPL. So FPL should be having definitely a much better H2 thanks to what we want to sell to many banks during H1 in trusted authentication, mobile banking apps, and further expansion of added value services. So it's why we see 15 like that. And of course, again, at this stage, you perfectly got it. We put aside the current discussion we are having with this big financial institution, given there are strategic uncertainties, and we just pursue working on it. And if it happens, you will know it, of course, immediately, and if needed, we will adapt accordingly the perspectives upward.
Okay, and sorry, just a small follow-up on the effects. I mean, I understand you are giving a guidance on cost and currency, but it's just to have an idea, because probably you are calculating this figure anyhow. So what will be the impact on the reported figure of the recent movement in the foreign exchange market? So if you can give us an idea of what would be the impact on the reported figure.
So we don't forecast the exchange rate. So we do our budget and forecast based on current at current exchange rate. Is your the budget rates are obviously the ones of December. So that's that's the basis for the guidance. Now, was your question related to the impact on the 2014 accounts?
No. I was saying clearly forecasting the organic top line constant currency, but then I was just wondering if you could help me to understand what would be the additional impact, I guess positive impact on your top line, assuming the currencies remain at the level of today. So without making any forecast, saying just the currency will remain at this level.
Okay, I understand. So no, the way we express the guidance and we prepare the guidance is we take the December exchange rate.
Okay.
So all past evolution of exchange rates are in, and that's how we build the budget. So if, let's assume that exchange rates don't move anymore for the coming 12 months, that has no impact, and that's the guidance as it is.
Okay, it's off this. Okay, thank you.
And I just remind that for the time being, prior any acquisition, fundamentally, 80% of the revenues of the company are anyway in euros, and so it is, of course, limiting anyway that to one-fifth, more or less, at this stage of the scope of the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Alex Faure from Exane. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I've got three, actually. First, on your online gateway business, you haven't highlighted anything on it in the presentation, or maybe I just missed it. So just wondering if you were happy with performance there. Are we looking at double digit? How are you thinking of this business going into 2015? Any color would help. And then also, second question on the number of issuing transactions. I think you said issuing transactions in 2014 were up 11%. And I think you commented in the prepared remark that revenue-wise, issuing was fairly stable. So I'm just wondering what's going on with pricing there. I don't know, is it because you're seeing maybe some issuing banks putting pressure on their suppliers ahead of regulatory changes? Is it anything like that, or any other reasons? Would be helpful to understand that better as well. And finally, on the infrastructure side of things, you said you were making progress on consolidating your different platform, you know, just one common hardware, one common software. How far are you? When do you think you'll be able to actually deliver that? Is it still a 2017 target, or has it moved closer to us? Thank you very much.
Okay, Alex, it's Marc-Henri here speaking. I will answer your question. Your first one is about our online gateway and more widely on online business. So just to remind that our online business is a mix of different activities. We have indeed an online payment gateway called SIPS, but we also provide additional services online, typically online banking services, security services linked to the online payments. And so it's and we have also a derived commercial acquiring flow coming from our online solutions. So it's a mix of different activity. Indeed, it's growing much faster than the average of the group, and we expect next year that this will be again a contributor to our growth and a major contributor to a faster growth. Performance has been good in 2014, and we expect it to improve in 2015. Sometimes these new businesses are difficult to predict, and to give you one positive example, we were typically very positively surprised by the rise of the use of 3D secure solution that we provide on top of the securitization of online transaction, typically in France in the fourth quarter, in which we experienced increase to the range of 40% on this activity only. So it's a mix of different streams and activities. When it comes to issuing transaction evolution, indeed the 11% increase doesn't go down directly to the top line. First, as we said, our contracts are a mix of various KPIs, and so they are not always purely transaction based. We have a certain number of contracts that are also number of card based. We said during the IPO that we had a synchronized renewal of contract in Belgium typically with some price decrease, and in fact they affected the overall top line of 2014. So the combination of KPIs behind this top line and some renewals we had in 2014 resulted in this overall stability last point we also have projects to support the bank changes, and in H2 we were a bit lower in activity project
activity. This is really I think maybe the most important factor to answer your question, Alex, which is the fact that it is a business that is not only based the revenues of these 400 million or so euros, of 396 to be precise, of this division is made partially of processing activities on which indeed we are paid based on the volume, and this can be having a very significant profitability impact. So hence you saw, for example, that in H2 we've been increasing very significantly the OMDA of this division, particularly because there were the volumes with less projects, so less people cost associated to the division in H2, and we were having fundamentally just the benefit of the volumes in that case. 15 will be having a bit of a different profile, as you understood. We see more projects in H2 than in H1 in that case. It is, and so the profile of the revenue that will be a bit different. So, but it is very typical of our business mix, which is, of course, having a type of cycle when we have more project or less project. And, of course, underlying is the steady growth of volume that is there constantly.
Sure. And your last question was about the consolidation of our platform through the YP program. Here we are progressing according to our plans, as you remind, to have a fully complete and covering the full functionality new platform for 2017. It is not something monolithic, so there are some parts that are already live and some parts that are coming. I mentioned a few new elements that we added to the platform in 2017. So once again, here progressing according to the plan as we express them during the IPO time.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Derek Marcon from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Do you hear me?
Very well, Derek.
Very well.
Good evening. Thank you. So the first question is just for the joke. Do you believe that Q4 organic growth is now the new mark you will have for the next quarters? I see we should expect Q1 to be already at 4% and the rest of the year accelerating compared to this Q1. That's my first question. My second question, just to understand better the negotiation and the discussion you have with this large continental bank for large issuing processing contract outsourcing. I thought this bank was under pressure given the cap on interchange fee, and now that we know that this cap on interchange fee will come sooner rather than later and obviously before the end of the year, should we expect this bank to be even more under pressure compared to 1 year ago, and that it could accelerate the discussion you have with this bank? Thank you.
I will take the second one, as you can guess.
Yeah. On the first one, Derek, Bruno speaking. So no joke, but of course we don't give guidance per quarter. What I can say to your question is, you know, on one specific quarter, and as Gilles very clearly explained on issuing, but that the comment can be extended to other activities. We have some project activities. On a quarter, the absolute numbers are quite small, so there can be a volatility, as you know. If we look at both the Q4 and the trends, you understand that the Q4 is not going to be replicated. If you do the math, you will see that the growth on MTS obviously is not going to be replicated every quarter going forward. Now, what is the trend and what is the reason for acceleration from in H2 compared to H1? I would say it's mainly FPL. In FPL, as Gilles said, we had this year a very strong first semester on projects, so that gives a base effect, of course. There is also the impact of the reinsourcing of this processing contract in France that I mentioned, that is still waiting on the growth in H1. And finally, we have the volumes, the volume growth that is contributing, I would say, more and more during the year to the growth. So all this together makes the acceleration, especially on FPL, and therefore for the whole group.
Derek, regarding your second question, I think absolutely not one of the fundamental reasons to entertain this long discussion with this financial organization has changed between 14 and 15. You're right, the certainty now, I mean certainty, as much as we can see it, and the immediacy of the cap of interchange is certainly one parameter amongst many others. There was not only the regulation that has been triggering this discussion, there was just also the willingness of having much more innovation and a much more consistent innovation set up for this bank all across the many countries in Europe. So there are other parameters than just that. And it is also why these discussions are actually being pursued as we speak. There is absolutely the same willingness at the technical level. Anyway, we just acknowledge, and we have learned that from last year, that there are also uncertainty and many other reasons which have nothing to do with interchange, which are at stake. And it's why I think it is now responsible on our side to stay rather on the cautious side and to say it will happen when it will happen. Hopefully, the sooner the better. And of course, because the reasons are still there and that won't vanish into the void. There is a very compelling business case. Let's make it happen. That's my duty to a certain extent to convince, and let's see what happens.
Thank you very much.
As there are no further questions at this time, I would like to turn the call back to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah, guys, thank you very much for having been available tonight. It's late. Thanks again. I look forward to interacting with you in the coming weeks. The team is really eager to pursue developing the story and to develop the company. 14 was quite a year for us all. We are really happy of what has been delivered, and we look confidently at the next development of the company on both fronts. Thanks for your attention. Good evening.